Here, they're both over.
Yeah, right, over there in Chatton, yep.
Either that or out there at the Paddock Lake Park.
Lot of communication takes place.
Well, I believe we can call the meeting to order. Roll call. I think we have everyone here. Youth and Governance, we have one missing. Ashley is here, and the rest of us are all here. So, we'll move on. Approval of the minutes from the previous meetings, October 8th and October 22nd. If everyone received copies of those, if there's any questions, or if we could have a motion for approval.
I move the minutes of both meetings.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Supervisor Noble, Supervisor Sikorsky to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Not all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. Only thing I have is we've had, it's been well reported by Ray and the rest of the staff that we've had a lot of projects coming to an end here. It's been also well reported in the Kenosha News, the parking structure, and the courthouse, and everything else that we've done. It's been quite a year, really. And I wanted to comment on the budget procedures that were done by not only the staff here, but by the committee. When you look at what was done, structurally, things were so well reported here by Ray, the rest of the staff, that we had a pretty easy job of going through the budget. But this committee really handled it properly, the way I like to see it done. You have things that are reported on and on and on and on, and that's the way that everyone knows what's going on. That's why the budget passed so easily, especially things from facilities and from highways and parks. Specifically, one item that you can tally through the whole year was the purchase of the Cady Park property, the adjacent property. We started reporting on that early in the year. I think my first mention of that to the county executive was last January. Then in February, John Rudy started looking at grants. Ray was working on avenues that we could do. The Corporation Council got involved. Gary was out there, looking at the property. And we reported as a committee all the way through that process. So the night before, we had some debate on the budget. An $801,000 or $810,000 proposal went through without one question. Not one question. And not only not one question, but a unanimous vote. That's probably what struck me to say the night of the budget hearings that it was amateur hour because someone was trying to get a $500,000 thing through that one night. I think we handled it properly, and I can't say enough as to what Mr. Rudy did with the grant writing, what Ray did on that whole process, and the whole committee can really be proud because I think it was about 9 years ago I had a young guy working for me. I think he was on Huber, and he said, "I saw your name on a plaque out at the detention center." He said, "Are you involved with the government? Our names are on a plaque out there when that thing is built." And I remember thinking after that, boy, would I rather have my name on a plaque at a park, than at a detention center that's not going to be there probably in 50 years. So I know that I sometimes preach a whole lot about these parks, but everything else is is important to me, but this is something that we're really going to pass on to the public for the next 300, 400, 500 years. It's there for good, and I think we can all be very pleased with ourselves. So that's all I have. Committee members, anything this evening? Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I mean, talking about the parks, you know, I enjoy the parks. I just earlier this week, I went out to Silver Lake because I had watched, I had missed the last meeting of the county board, and I saw you speak on the trail being open at Silver Lake, so my wife and I, we took the dog out there and...
Isn't that cool?
Walked down the beach and then walked back, and yeah, we go out there, and on a number of occasions, we've gone out to Bristol Woods by the Pringle Nature Center there, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful place there. Petrified Springs, sent pictures when I find old dilapidated grills to Jonathan. I spent a lot of time out there. I mean, I'm really proud of our parks. I think they're really an asset to the whole county, and I'm very pro when it comes to you know, our parks. I'll be there. I enjoy them, and I think everybody should enjoy them. Texas is great with the road, the bridge. Bridge is beautiful. Nice place. It's just very nice.
Any other supervisors, committee members?
Yes. I just want to echo your sentiments, Stalling. Everybody that was involved with the budgeting process, you made our jobs fairly easy. It was very clear cut. We had questions. You guys were always right there to answer them. And I just want to thank you, each and every one of you and all the staff behind that doesn't come to our meetings here. Please pass it along our gratitude. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Supervisor Noble.
And I thought you were referring to me when you said amateur hour.
No, that was true. That was actually, I'm not shy, that was Supervisor Montemurro. She's the one that saw the $1.5 million in the highway budget and thought maybe we could cut some of that to buy that.
I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah. Nothing serious?
No.
Okay.
Serious.
I guess the serious part that I did forget there was, who really made it easy for us, was Vicki and Jim, the people that handled the financial end of it. Jim walked us through that budget line by line, and I mentioned other people and forgot you too, so thank you again.
Thank you.
Youth and governance, anything? We'll move on to highways, new business.
I have a resolution for you tonight to, on the recommendation of the county executive, an appointment to the Traffic Safety Commission, Lieutenant Dan Riley, on my left here, is here tonight, and there's quite a bit of information on Lieutenant Riley attached to the resolution that was forwarded to you. I can tell you that you've been to quite a few Traffic Safety Commission meetings now, participating as a representative of the Village of Pleasant Prairie Police Department, and it's just been a great resource and help having Lieutenant Riley is as a representative and provide input not only on activities and issues involving safety in the Village of Pleasant Prairie, but all throughout the county. So I certainly support the county director's appointment to the Traffic Safety Commission.
Well, Lieutenant Riley, I do usually ask people if they know what night it meets and whether or not they're available that night, because I think the least people expect is you attend the meetings. But I see that you've been attending for 2.5 years in your thing, so you obviously know what night it's on. It looks like you're willingly available that night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for the 2.5 that you've already given us.
Any other questions?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Supervisor Dodge and Supervisor Noble. Any questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance? Thank you. And the pay is right, so. Thank you. Railway crossing. That's the next one.
Yeah, I have a resolution before you tonight regarding the condition of the Union Pacific Railroad crossing on Highway S in the town of Summers. That's the first railroad crossing west of Highway 31 on Highway S. Reason I'm bringing this before you tonight is a statutory requirement of the railroad. I'll just read it to you very quickly. All railroad companies owning or operating tracks crossing streets or highways at grade shall keep the surface in the crossing between the tracks and rails and extending 4 feet either side of the outside rails in good condition and repair for highway travel. The county board, common council, or village board, or town board of the municipality in which the crossing is located may by resolution require any such railroad company to pave, plank, repair, change, or otherwise improve the crossing as the needs require. So basically what that's saying is if the railroad does not take it upon themselves to keep the crossing in good repair, that by resolution the county board can require the railroad to do that repair. We've been kind of tolerating this failed part of the crossing for probably a number of years versus, it's nothing that's happened recently. We have had to go out on a number of occasions and do temporary repairs in that just because of the immediate traffic hazard created by the crossing. And that's not something that we are responsible for or required to do, but we have on occasion done it just because of the immediate traffic hazard created by the disrepair of the crossing. So if you do choose to approve the resolution, we will forward it to the railroad with a repair order.
And Gary, if I'm right, if we don't do this, they can just sit on it. This has to be done by us, and then they actually have to do it.
Correct.
Yeah. So we've done this in the past. Supervisor Kaminsky.
I'm very familiar with that, so I 100% support. But here's my question is, the stretch between 31 and, I think that's Pike Creek there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or right by Jerry Smith's, mm-hmm. becomes a raceway, because I live out there.
Mm-hmm.
And is it 45 along there?
It's 45.
We'd be lucky to. And there's a couple residents either side. Have we ever thought about, I hate, it's a lot of nothing right in between the two, but as you're coming westbound and you hit that track, it's definitely a hazard.
Right.
But I didn't know if there's anything we can do in between there. There's really not any accidents. I'm just telling you, if you want to try and do the speed limit there, you need to run over.
Yeah. Well, one thing I can do is do a speed study there and record the speeds and determine if there's, you know, what's happening. And not that I would recommend, or maybe not recommend a speed change, but I can forward that information to the sheriff's department, and it actually gives time slots in 15-minute increments, it gives them a clue as to when to go out there and
okay.
patrol it or run radar at certain.
I don't want to create more work for you.
Yeah, it's something that can be done.
I go over the tracks regularly, and it absolutely has been a couple of years. And if you don't slow down to 15 or 20, you're going to bottom your vehicle out. And some people don't. I always do.
Right.
So I support it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the
question?
Yes, sir.
My green needs to be repaired. My question is, would they shut off the traffic partially or entirely? And if so, approximately how long?
It depends. I mean, if they determine to do just a minimal repair, which in fact may solve the whole problem, there's only one panel in the whole crossing that needs to be removed and replaced. If in fact that's what they choose to do, that could be done, you know, just in a matter of hours with the one lane of traffic. If they choose to replace the entire crossing, that's typically a 3 to 4 day operation, and they would have to close the crossing. It could 3 to 4 days, up to 5 days, depending on the amount of work that's required. So in either case, I would hope that when we send them the resolution that they would do something quickly, but otherwise, you know, if it's going to be a complete crossing repair, it probably won't be done until spring.
Anything else?
Moved
by Supervisor Dodge, seconded by Supervisor Kowalski to approve the resolution. Any other discussion? Supervisor?
How long do they have to respond to? Is there a time limit?
They have 30 days to respond to the resolution.
I mean, to do the work.
To do the work. There's not a deadline for getting the actual work accomplished. It's just this is within 30 days after service of the resolution.
Because I think we've gone that route where we have to get the commission or the railroad involved.
Right. Yeah. That's what happens. If they don't respond in 30 days, then we forward it to the Commissioner of Railroad's office, and they'll conduct a hearing and issue an order, which is they must comply with, and they would.
It just sort of went for the background for the members.
It always gets done, but when we have to go to this point, then you have to go to this point. Anything else? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then the director's report, Gary.
Yeah, just a couple updates. We've been able to get our major projects completed and open now. We have no road closures or major construction going on. The only road closure that remains is a project being completed by the state at Highway K and I-94, of which should be complete within the next couple weeks. But we got our section of Highway K between 31 and Highway H completed. That actual project's been completed for about 5 weeks, but we've been waiting on the railroad to complete their work, which they did last Thursday, and we opened that back up to traffic on Friday. Similarly, on Highway C and MB, that project, although not 100% complete, we still are working on getting some street lights installed. We've had some manufacturer delays on the poles on those, but it was substantially complete and open to traffic last Friday. And the street lights, they're going to work this week and hopefully next week and get those completed, and that would be 100% completed when the lights are activated. Highway G, 30th Avenue, that's been open for several weeks on the north side of Kenosha. That project went real well, and I think John will fill you in on the parks projects, but it's been a big year for a lot of improvements. It's you know, these these are, particularly those three highway projects are three major projects that that we got accomplished, although it kind of at the bitter end of the construction season. It took you know, basically every day possible to get them done, but they are, and I think all of them are great improvements. They all turned out real well, and you know, and hopefully the public will appreciate the improvements, because ultimately that's the purpose, is to provide improved facilities for the public to drive on. Highway CNMB, and it's a roundabout, and they're a bit of a lightning rod, but I actually so far have just received compliments on the project, so hopefully it's going to take a little getting used to. It seems like all roundabouts do, but this particular design I think is very simple, straightforward, and it's definitely going to serve its purpose as a safety improvement on the highway with the minimal possible impact, negative impact to the public. I think if you look at the alternatives of a four-way stop or traffic signal, certainly this is a much better alternative from just by keeping the traffic flowing rather than stopping and going. So the other thing, there's a little article in the paper the other day, I don't know if you saw, about the snow fence that we put up. It's kind of interesting what gets a reaction out of people. You know, we have these big projects and stories in the newspaper and never hear a word. I got so much reaction about that snow fence being put up, and one negative thought it was a waste of money, but all the rest of them said, you know, thank you for putting it up. I had, I think, three different people call and volunteer their land to put more snow fence up. It was just interesting that so much reaction on something like that. But the reason we're putting it up is it does prevent drifting on the highways, and you know, when we get heavy drifting, we have to have trucks. They just go out and they just go in circles and circles, because it just keeps blowing on the pavement, blowing on the pavement. We plow it, salt it. And if we can minimize that, you know, we think we can certainly save our resources for better use than driving around in circles all day trying to plow drifts off the highway. And that was all I had.
Well, when we were kids, snow fence was a thing, but that's all you had.
We got away from it because a lot of about 10 years ago or so, a lot of the farmers were planting winter wheat in their fields, and you know, you have to go out into the field about 200 feet and drive trucks, and people stomp around and do a lot of damage, and we just couldn't find a lot of places to put it, so we kind of gave it up. But that was really the only reason, and now we're trying to get back into it to some extent. So.
Thank you, Gary. And that CNMB, a lot of you guys don't know this name, but there's a gentleman called Larry Fitzgerald that lives there, and he's happy with it. Oh. So if Larry Fitzgerald's happy with it, it's a winner. It's a winner.
We did have a lot of local support on that project from day one, not just from the construction, from day one of the planning. It really, in fact, it was driven by the local community out there to
right.
do something to solve the traffic safety.
Yeah. And again, this took a long time. We approached it when those people came forward 4 or 5 years ago.
It's been that long.
And we did the rumble strips on Highway C. You know, there was a lot of outcry over just a couple of accidents, and boy, the highway department, you know, took action. So this is just one of the final things to that. Yep. Thank you, Gary. We'll move on to parks.
Question.
Oh, yep.
I do recall a conversation that some of the intermediate things we did with regards to signs about the hill and this and that. you had said that some of that might have to come down once we actually do reconfigure that. You know, are you planning on taking any of it down? Are you going to leave it up or what? Once we lowered the speed limit, we redid the intersection, and I do remember you said you were going to take some of that down.
Yeah, we actually did take down, we had blinker intersection advisory signs, intersection warning signs with advisory speeds in the, with the blinker configuration. We actually took the ones from CNMB and moved them down to Highway C and U, where there's been some pretty severe crashes lately. Not a high number of crashes, but it seems like when we do have some there, it's pretty severe. So we did move those there. There also is the Hills Block View signs out there. I think we're going to leave those until I find a better use for them, but right now I think they still serve a purpose. You can over-sign things, and right now if you drive through the roundabout, there's quite a few signs, not anything like some roundabouts. We tried to minimize them, but some of them we're going to leave probably till like spring, and when people are accustomed to the roundabout being there, and then we'll look at removing some of the signs, more the informational signs, not the regulatory signs, just the informational signs.
Yeah, it's just when Supervisor Elverman was talking about the history of it, I remember that you said you were going to take some of it. Now you already have, so.
Yeah, you just get so many signs that people just start ignoring them because they're just so much that it's just, people ignore them and they become ineffective.
Anything else for Gary? We'll move on to parks. Old business. We start with the KD master plan. I know we've said we're going to keep this on our agenda, so we can always talk about it. And I believe tonight we're going to not going to be in depth, but I think John's going to talk about something we asked him as a committee. We prioritized things, and we spoke to him about looking at the aquatic factors that we could do there as far as the dive teams and things. And I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to hit tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we to piggyback on that. Yeah, we basically we're planning over the next couple committee meetings, bringing a little bit more information each night, having to do with water and water safety issues. And John was fortunate enough on his way up north in November, he stopped at Lake Wazee, met the parks director up there, and I'll let him go over it. But there's a lot of ground that they've already covered that definitely some of this stuff we won't have to reinvent the wheel with. I think there's some good sources of information right in the state.
Yeah, their lake is probably three times bigger than ours and only 300 foot deeper. But I was surprised up there that I guess I had in my head you had to have these big ramps to walk in. And most of the accesses are no more than a path to the water's edge, just so the folks can get in. One was improved, but the only reason for the cement ramp basically was for a good boat launch. The one that I have here in the picture, he called this his other improved one only because you could drive right to the edge of the lake and you could possibly launch a smaller boat and trailer there. But they don't allow any motors unless they're electric. They do everything there. I mean, there's diving, sailboarding, kayaking, swimming, canoeing, everything folks want to do, except for things with motors. No jet skis or anything like that. And he said there's just they absolutely have no problems with the user groups getting along. He said everybody plays real well together. They do float off the diving areas, and then the divers are required to use a dive flight too, so they know they're there. But he said it's just everything goes really smooth. When it comes to putting stuff in the lake, the local dive clubs come out. So the teaching platforms, which he said are very important because otherwise you're down on the sediment stirring it up when you're trying to teach a group. Now, I don't know if about scuba diving, but apparently they talk underwater, so I don't know how that works. But anyways, I got a lot of good information on their user fees and how they handle that. and he was going to send me his park ordinances so I could see what ordinances they put in to manage the lake activities. Let's see what else I had here. And they do charge. There is a daily and an annual fee for divers, and in the summers they have an attendant there. They do feel it is important to check how many divers are going in and to make sure at night they're all out. But again, they have six different locations and want to add more. I don't know if we'd have more than one or two if we did it for folks to go in.
That's one of the things that surprised me that John said was they got there's six or seven launch and they're often all booked. They're booked solid. There's that many folks and they're not, I mean, they're not that close to the Twin Cities. They're not that close to Madison or Chicago, but folks are coming that far, and they're planning on adding another one or two.
As many as they can sneak in there.
So,
and we were thinking more for our rescue squads. Mm-hmm.
For practice, yeah, training.
And a diet thing. It's amazing how this picture looks like our park.
Yeah,
yep.
It looks the same side.
And, you know, he said that really a lot of the improvements, the tables and the underwater platforms and that are all Eagle Scout projects.
Yeah.
So they bear no cost there either. So he said it's win-win. He said, but this diving thing, he said there's just so much demand. But again, with this lake, it's 350 foot deep, so they can do the deep diving with nitrogen, whatever it is. He said that the Navy and some of the other outfits have SEAL teams come up here to practice, all the way from North Carolina and you name it at that one. So, again, I think it's pretty similar except for the depth. And like I said, it was all good. I've got a ton of other information. And I think what we'll probably need to do in a start kind of in the future, put packaging everything up and seeing if we are going to charge a user fee and decide where that launch would go and if we only need one launch or what, you know, everything we're going to need here and there to come. So
again, this is something that's going to take us quite a while to put together, but this is the first thing that we've trying to accomplish out there other than having a hiking trail.
I still think it's realistic that if we can, over the next few months, the winter months, keep pulling information together, we should be able to have something packaged up by March, April, so before the warm weather season starts, have some stuff in place so that we can accommodate some further activity out there.
Right. And one thing I didn't mention at the beginning of the meeting, it just crossed my mind, I was going to. I know everyone read, and we reported it even at the county board, that we're keeping that park open this winter. It was slated to be closed November 25th, but through discussions with the county executive and John and Ray, the amount of people using it this fall and the amount of people that asked me questions about, you know, I even had one woman, this real petite little woman, say, well, I've been sneaking in here for 2 years, she told me. You know, I told her, you know, it might be closed, and she said, what am I going to do with my cross-country skis? She said, I've been sneaking in here for 2 years doing that. And I said, we're working on it. But there's a lot of people want to, if we had a normal winter, snowshoe and do all those things, you know. We used to, at Fox River Park, I don't know, John, if we even still have the equipment, behind a snowmobile, we had a groomer for cross-country skiers that made the little, two little, do we still have that stuff? Or?
I do. What happened here with cutting the help over the years in the winter, I don't have enough folks to go on groom tracks.
Yeah. Right.
So what I've done is I borrow Parkside University. The ski club over there uses one of our snowmobiles and groomers to set cross-country ski tracks on the Parkside cross-country course so that there is someplace groomed. And if there's snow, now they're also going to run up and groom the lit loop on the Pets Golf Course for us.
Yeah.
So the ski club will do it. So it's with our equipment, but that's in payment for providing the activity. Otherwise, it's just going to sit in the barn.
Do we have any more of that equipment?
I have two snowmobiles and two groomers.
Okay, if I could get, well, we can talk about that. But say if we could get the Twin Runners to do something for us, you know, because we let them come through.
Right, but they'd have to use our snowmobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, because theirs are so high geared, they'll burn them up.
Right.
Ours goes like top speed at like 40 miles an hour.
And the only other problem I thought of when I was thinking about this the other day when I was walking out there is that if we make it too inviting, then the snowmobilers might not stay on their trail.
No, what we found with grooming cross-country ski trails, if you have a lot of walkers, they'll walk on them and bust them up. They wipe them out just hiking on them because you've got that nice packed surface now.
Right, right, right.
So
we got a lot of walkers this fall out there. It's just amazing.
It's nice. It's a beautiful place to rustic walk.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we'll move on, John. Nope, Supervisor Noble.
Yeah. The KD Park, I sent an email to the county executive and to you. I don't know if you read that lady's comment about why didn't somebody suggest a fundraiser for this West End transportation instead of just cutting it. So you know that I've been suggesting for some time to have a hot air balloon rally at that park. And to me, that's a concept that we should consider, you know, if you could get either even the bicycle people, you know, so that we could finish, we could build up a fund to interconnect some of these trails, or possibly we could make enough money to provide for that, you know, transportation service. And if these people are willing to volunteer a weekend to, you know, help out, you know, do the work that needs to be done, you know, we could fund it. I didn't get a response from either of you, so I don't know what.
Yeah, I talked to, when I got it, I called up the exec and I talked to him, and I told him that we had talked at a previous meeting about, I got kind of a laundry list of the things that we need to do to really do a balloon rally, because I haven't heard anybody that had a negative impression of doing the balloon rally. I think everybody thinks it's a good idea. It's a matter of just pulling together those actual threads of things to make it happen. And it is, it's a little involved, because as you learned, I think when you talk to the folks in Waterford, you have to piggyback those things with something else, right? Because the weather is so, the balloon aspect of it is so weather sensitive, you have to have some other stuff kind of as backup plan B and C. But the bottom line is, I think that it would be a very visible, a very high attended kind of a thing, because there isn't any, Wisconsin Dells doesn't do it anymore. No. They used to do it on an annual basis, and I don't know that there's a balloon rally in the state. Maybe in Bayfield there might be, but the guys I know go to, well, the guy I know in Lake Geneva, he ends up going to, there's one in Missouri he goes to, and he goes to Arizona a couple times during the winter.
I think Galena does a huge one.
Does Galena? Okay.
And they do then a parade with the balloons through the town. On, you know, they kind of halfway blow them up and run them through a parade to Twin Lakes, if it was at Twin Lakes, and it's really, they have lots of people show up to see them.
It's always a spectacle.
It is a spectacle.
The Waterford one was, I think this was their first year doing it, but I think that planned on being an annual event, so. Yeah, I've got the pieces there. It's just going to need some legwork to pull that together. I know that John would be interested in doing it. Trione would help coordinate it. And he's right out here in our backyard.
You know, if we decide to do something like this, it's going to take a lot of legwork. But the routes that are being cut on that bus route are the big one for where I live. I mean, I shop in Lake Geneva. You know, it's 8 minutes for me.
Right.
Are the ones to Lake Geneva. And if someone is really serious about this, one of the contacts is going to want to be the Lake Geneva Chamber of Commerce, because it hauls all these shoppers from Twin Lakes to the Aurora Clinic, Walmart, and the library. It brings, that's where the Twin Lakes route goes. And the people from Twin Lakes go to Lake Geneva. Some of them go to Kenosha if they've got doctor's appointments. They're cutting the one to Antioch, I believe, for the majority of that one, to the metro station. So Lake Geneva Chamber of Commerce, those people are sophisticated. And that George Hensley, I think is his name, that runs it, I mean, would be a contact, say, you know, would you be interested? Since the guy that runs the balloons, he operates out of Lake Geneva.
Right.
You know, to involve themselves in something from Western Kenosha County, because a lot of Western Kenosha County benefits Walworth County, and they know it. That would be at least one step to make in this whole process to talk to Walworth County. I still think it's a noble idea.
Very well put.
Nothing else? John, we'll let you start your report then, now that we've kept you.
My report? Or resolution?
Resolution. Yeah. Whatever order you want to do it in. We distracted you for the whole.
This resolution is basically just a repeat of the same contract that we've been running with, between Kenosha County and the Pringle Nature Center, Inc. It's a 2-year contract, and it's renewable for an additional 2 by mutual consent. And it basically just spells out what they're going to provide for us and their services to the public, and then what the county does in maintaining the building and whose equipment is what and everything else. And I didn't want to read it all the way through. I think probably some of you guys did. But again, it's the same contract that we've had with them, and I think that they're a good fit here. They go above and beyond what I ever expected of them. They have a first-class naturalist over there in Val, and I'm a little bit surprised sometimes at how much activity is going on at the Pringle Nature Center. The only one thing in here that in the contract itself I noticed that we've been a little bit lenient on is that they're to provide the Director of Public Works with a written report prior to the first Monday of the month or something. But now that they've went to the bi-monthly, or the, what do you want? Yeah.
Every two months,
whatever you want to call it.
Newsletter.
Reports. Yeah. They've been falling behind a little bit on that, but that's just a matter of talking to them and making sure we have it for every other meeting.
They're very professional.
They are.
They've done the best job since we've been having people out there. And they know how to promote themselves. Yeah. If you look at, there's a story in the Kenosha News every second day on what's happening at the Pringle Nature Center. So, where are
The rentals, the facility rentals. I've heard that it was available, but I've also heard that, you know, they sort of don't want to rent it to anybody. But it does say here that overnight rentals are $150 for full use of the building and $75 for use of the restrooms only. Full use of the building overnight? I mean, they have a lot of their own stuff in there. How does that work out?
Well, usually that's sort of usually when they do this, it's someone stays there. One of the volunteers or somebody stays right there, so nothing happens to anything.
Is that typically done for an overnight, like a scout troop or something?
Yeah,
like
and it's typically, they have done a few birthday parties, but not many. Usually it's Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts.
And they being the Pringle Nature Center people, are let people do that? And they don't put up a fuss about that?
Yeah. I believe they have someone from the staff stay right there with them.
And the kids camp outside?
No, they've slept inside.
Have they?
Yeah, they do campouts outside as well.
Yeah, but then it's only,
they've done,
that's only the restroom, and then that's separate from the rest of the building, right? That's only $25, I think. Or $75.
Yeah, $75 if they camp outside.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure they were aware of that and had no problem with that.
Any other questions for John on the Pringle Center? That will entertain a motion.
Move to approve. Second.
Is that Supervisor Noodle?
Yep.
Seconded by Supervisor Dodge. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance? We're unanimous.
Let's start out with the report here. With the Pitts roadway parking lot construction and dam removal and bridge installation. The first thing I want to say about this is that Gary Sipsma has worked every day on this project, right along with me and the consultant and everybody else. My idea was of a bridge is 2 telephone poles across the stream with whatever I can pile on at the walk. So when it comes to something like this is where what Gary specializes in. with the roadways and the curbings, then that it's been Gary that's been the one that's been instrumental in making sure that everything on this project has went well. And it's just phenomenal. When I stand back and look at that bridge, I can't believe that bridge is sitting there. And again, in the selection of the bridge and everything in that park, Gary's been the one who we look to for his expertise in the design of everything. And you know, and along with that, Vicki managing the payments and other things that go along with it. Vicki spent quite a bit of time on it as well. Now I know it's probably everything there is probably close to 99% finished. The dam or the bridge itself still will require 70 degree weather for the staining, so that won't happen out till probably April or so, and we don't expect to completely close out the project till then. There's silt fence, and I know Gary's got a punch list of a bunch of detail work that will need to be wrapped up as well. But other than that, if you've been through there, it's just, again, that whole park is, the whole face of that Petrifying Springs has changed because of this road, and I mean, it's a brand new park. And Rick, you know, everybody that's been there is just well aware of it. Silver Lake Trail.
I saw a salmon upstream today, this morning, from that bridge.
Well, they were late this year because they said the water levels were so low they got stranded down the river. And about the time I think they started doing the north or west abutment, they started seeing a few salmon come through there. So
yeah,
I guess we're accomplishing part of our mission.
Should have grabbed him, Rick, because he's dead anyway.
Yeah. My dog makes me take him out for a walk every day.
And the Silver Lake Trail, I went and walked that Sunday. I haven't walked it. I drove it a few times, more than a few times during construction. But again, Gary's handiwork is all over this trail as well, with the bridges and the paving and everything else. Gary's worked on this one. I think was a little bit of a pain in the hind end with the bridges. The contractor wanted to switch to a different bridge, and it didn't exactly meet the specs after everything was said and done, but Gary got it all worked out, and it's a beautiful trail for anybody that hasn't been on it yet. I walked it just before the Packard game on Sunday. I met three couples out there, and they couldn't say enough good things about it. Two of the couples were from Illinois, but one was from around the other side of the lake, or more towards where the marina is on F, but they walked all the way over and looked back. And they said that this wasn't the first time they'd walked, that they've been doing it real regular, you know, regularly now since that was in. So that's moving along too. We're not going to officially open it. You know, I mean, folks can walk on that, but I know we want to do a little bit something different down by B, so folks coming down that grade don't run out into the traffic, but that'll be next spring.
Yeah. Gary and I met out there by accident one day. I didn't realize I should have had my stocking cap that day. We were out there for quite a while talking, and he was telling me about that. I went down. But the only problem I had out there that day was the cold, and then the installers, they didn't speak English. They were from Ohio, southern Ohio, I think. Gary told me, these guys are from down south somewhere. I went up there, and I didn't hardly understand anything they were saying. They were all Caucasian, but they were...
Yeah, they were interesting.
Heavy accents.
Yeah, they didn't like that cold day. Yeah. Supervisor Dodge?
Yeah, I was out there Thursday, and I was running to Gary, call him Ray. And I apologize.
That hurt him.
I told him I'll try not to let that happen again. One thing, you know, I noticed about the trail and thinking about people, you can never really understand what they're going to do. And my thoughts and my questions were, we charge people in the summertime to get into Silver Lake Park. With this access from B, are people going to park on B because it's such a beautiful walk and avoid paying, and everybody's going to be coming in the park that way? Or all the people from, there's a trailer park right there, are they going to be coming into that park? I mean, it's not fair for the people that pay. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Okay, well, we just typically charge for the beach use. So, I mean, right now, people can drive into the county park and walk the trails to the beach anyways. for the 50 cents or 25 cents, whatever it is for the walk-ins right now, we've had kids coming down that trail for years from Silver Lake. You know, we just looked the other way. I don't see a problem there. I mean, I'd rather have the bikers come in and stop and buy something at the concession stand and visit the place and then maybe bring their family back. Mm-hmm. So I don't see a problem with it. I just, over the years, I mean, there's so many folks that walk in.
Okay.
And they typically don't stay. They typically are either walking through or very few of them come and, you know, lug all their stuff in. And so I don't see it as an issue. And I'm sure that those few from the trailer park that come down, okay. Yeah, it just, our beach attendance is going back up through the fee booth, so, you know, we're doing okay there. I mean, I'm completely happy with that, but I know that question has come up.
Okay.
And
there's nowhere for them to park anyway down by B.
Highway B, alongside the road.
They won't let them park there.
Yeah. There's not a lot of parking there, but, you know, you do that, well, then if you go there on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock and you look out around my swim area, there's 30 boats out there. Well, those folks don't have bathrooms on them boats. They're all walking in and using the beach and everything else, too. And it's another one we just look the other way on because okay. It drives you nuts if you try to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then KD expansion. The good news is it looks like the closing is going to be set for 2 p.m. on December 18th. And right now, I believe the last I knew I heard it was in the Corp Council.
It's in Bernie's office.
So that's all I know about that at this point, other than that's when it's going on. And I did speak with George Melcher, and he said they will be following up. They're already working on it with the zoning changes for the property in January. We had the Cold Turkey Disc Golf Tournament the weekend after Thanksgiving. We had 143 golfers there, which I think was phenomenal for the 28 degrees at the start.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Well, what we're hearing is that they're saying the disc golfers themselves rate the courses, and they say the Gray Fox is number 4 in the state of Wisconsin. And they said that there's one other one that beats us, so we'd actually be second or third place, but one course has 54 holes. And they like that just because they can golf all day long.
Is that Sheboygan? Is that Sheboygan?
No, it's actually up by Hayward.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Ours is sure picturesque, though, with the sea. Been out there. Yeah.
And when I talked with Terry Miller, he said that we're coming close to possibly doing a national tournament at this course. You see Nick moved the old starter shack from Brightondale,
yeah,
from between one white and one blue. Golf didn't want it there anymore, so Nick went up there with a trailer and hauled it home and put it on the disc golf course, and so they can run their tournaments out of that. And then the other thing is we want to back up a soda machine to it right there because we didn't have electric to that parking lot before. So maybe we can make a little money just off of them drinking their energy drinks and things like that. And I guess that's all right. And again, I do want to make sure that, you know, that you guys understand that Gary has just spent an immense amount of time on my projects as well as his own. So
that's because people are more touchy-feely about your type of projects than they are about his. And he likes that. Gets appreciated more for park stuff. You ready to do it?
Is the golf course closed now, or we're still open?
Pets is open, as weather permits. Brightondale is shut right now. It's shut down. If we did get looked like it was going to be a long term, you know, week or 10 days of good weather, we could open it back up. We could fire it back up. But right now, everything's closed down at Brightondale.
A lot of money to do that, or no?
No, the way he shut it down, it wouldn't be a big deal. The only problem that's happened in the last week is that one of the furnaces, one of the original 1972 furnaces, the main one, died. And we had an engineer out to look at it, or a technician, and we had the technician's boss come out there. It really is beyond repair. So we're trying to put together a game plan for what we're going to do. We've got one working. We've drained most of the pipes there. We're going to drain all the pipes in the building just to be safe. Mild weather has helped. We're able to keep it at about 50 degrees with the one furnace working. That's probably our biggest stumbling block right now, is what we're going to do with that. So we're probably going to, we're going to try to put together something here in the next week or so that we can make sure that that thing doesn't sustain any damage over winter. But it was something we had in the capital plan the last couple of years, but we just haven't been able to afford to do it in the capital plan, so it's gotten pushed out. But she died, so that's where that's at.
Anything else for John on Parks? We'll move on to facilities.
Well, the first thing up to bat is the 60th Street Tower replacement. And we've made some headway from the last meeting that we had, in that we've got all the, pretty much everything that needs to be done from a technical standpoint to put the foundations in. And we were hoping to actually start the foundations this week. There's a few issues that the city still wants us to take care of. I would consider them administrative issues. One of them has to do with the fact that this is Nash Park, the property we're putting it on, was originally acquired with a stewardship grant through the DNR and the feds, just like we got Powers Lake construction property. And we actually are the ones that discovered that. And we said, okay, if we're going to put something there, we have to go through this process, because if it was bought with grant money. So we actually initiated that process and had conversations with the DNR. And the DNR, our contacts up there, because we worked with them extensively this year on all the other projects we had going, so we were pretty much in contact with these guys multiple times a week, which is good. We built up a good rapport. And the main guy, Jim Ritchie, had said to us, you guys do what you need to do to get that tower up. It's a public safety thing. We'll catch up with the paperwork after the fact. Now, he told me that verbally. He wasn't able to put that in, something like that into writing. That was the information I used to go to the city administration with and say, you know, we really need to do this thing because the weather's cooperating. We've got everything lined up. And they weren't comfortable moving forward without having something in writing from the DNR. So I worked, this happened Friday. I called the chairman to make him aware of it. It happened Friday afternoon. I talked to the city administrator. I'm working with city staff today and tomorrow, hopefully to put together enough information so that the DNR will give us something in writing that says what he's already committed to verbally, so that the city will be more comfortable with that. And the only other piece administratively, as you know, we put a resolution through the county board, through the committees, and through the board for us to enter into a lease with the city for $1 a year for 35 years. And we've got now the authority granted by the board to negotiate that. Well, they have to jump through some committee hoops yet, and it appears it's only the Park Commission, which meets next Monday night, to actually formally approve their lease. So the two pieces I'm hoping we'll be able to get done this week is get the DNR enough stuff so they can give something in writing to the city so they're comfortable, and we can get the actual lease approved through the, which I haven't seen, I'm supposed to see it tomorrow, but it should be, in my mind, a one-page document, or something pretty darn small anyways. If we get that this week, those two pieces by Monday, I'm hoping that we can remobilize. I've been pretty much daily contact with the tower constructor. The steel's ordered. The steel that we need to put into the foundation, he's got it in hand. So everything's kind of locked and loaded. We just need to get these last administrative hurdles clear. Hopefully they clear next week so we can get this thing going while the weather's still good and the soil's still warm. Because there will be a 28-day cure time for that concrete before we can start actually going up with the steel on it.
All right, it's only Friday. He had two other projects he may mobilize on now. Are we in trouble that way?
Yeah, the one he's going to go to this week, because our window closed.
We lost it.
Yeah, we closed that window. And I like I said, we had it mobilized. We had it set up for this Wednesday. So I explained to the city that window doesn't get to open up and close too many times. Like, I think we had our one kick at the cat, so we really gotta, you guys gotta approve the paperwork so that we can get out there and do what we gotta do. So I know that the lower level administration folks get it. I know the mayor gets it.
City administrator.
Yeah, it's enough said, yeah.
Is that what his position is?
Yeah.
Minister.
And not much happens over there without him blessing it.
We predicted this.
Yes, you did.
Yes, we did.
Yes, you
Supervisor Kleski?
You know, as dysfunctional as the city government seems to be, or acts anyways, do we have any, is it a 50-50 proposition, or actually going to approve it? And is there anything that we can do to help?
Well, I talked with Jim this morning, Cruiser, and I explained to him exactly where things were at. And I said, if tomorrow, I'm pretty confident, based on what we got put together today, as far as information package to go up to the DNR, to get their, get them to put something in writing to us that it's okay to do what we want to do. I feel that we're going to be able to get that up there tomorrow. I know the guy at the DNR will review it and tell us on Wednesday if he can sign something or send something to us that gives us even tentative something in writing to go ahead. If for some reason he can't, then I got Jim, who's going to talk directly with the mayor and just say, okay, this is where it's at. You know, if the window closes here, yes, we could have, maybe it's going to be like this all winter long, like last winter, or maybe not. And if it's going to be, what would be particularly bad is not so much the snow, but those rainy, freezing ice conditions with wind, that's the one that's going to test the metal of the tower. That's what's going to test it.
That's what they told us could bring down this existing tower.
Yeah, so the existing one.
The existing one, correct. Yeah. So I hope that this week we'll be able to get where we need to go.
Yeah.
There's a different sense of urgency. I just don't...
I know last week from your tone, they're testing you, Ray.
Yeah, that's what... So hopefully we'll get where we need to go. So that's pretty much where the 60th Street's at. Park and ride structure is moving along pretty darn good. Ron can give some updates on kind of nuts and bolts what's happening over there.
We've had Peeper Electric out there running conduit to the islands. Amano has been working on installing the gate arms, and they're going to program the ATM machines, and hopefully they'll start installing them in about 14 days. So we'll see some.
And that piece is actually dovetailed with something Jim's helping out with, is this thing, as a being able to take credit cards, it now is going to be assigned a
merchant ID.
A merchant ID. It is the garage is going to be its own merchant. And so, like anything else, you peel back a couple layers of the onion, there's a few more there. So that's taken a little time to kind of root through what we have to do to enable the credit card side of the program so that the actual automated teller can function. And they have to get some information from their credit card folks to program what it is they need to program. So physically, a lot of the stuff is happening. If you go by, you'll see the gate arms are up, the islands are poured concrete, there's electric guys running wires and stuff. So that's all going good. We just have to get up this last linkage here. And
so you'll need a PIN number then? People will have to have their PIN?
It'll be three ways to get in. It'll be anybody that's got one of these,
right,
which will be employees as well as Metra, the long-term Metra folks.
Right.
PIN number will be, there will be a PIN pad there for like jurors.
Jurors
will punch in a PIN code. And regular folks that just need to get in there for the day, they swipe their credit card for $3 and...
So they can just swipe, they won't need to have a PIN. They can just
swipe a card. Yeah.
Okay.
What would be the PIN number for? I missed that.
The jurors.
Jurors. Because, I mean, a lot of times, you don't know your PIN number.
You know? Right. So it appears from a... They're still trying to physically get everything in place by the end of the month, but it'll probably take the month of January to really get everything dialed in and working the way it's supposed to. That's kind of what I'm figuring out anyways.
Right, and Amano has they're the people supplying the ATMs and the gates. They have the contact now from the bank, so they'll get that all worked out and that should go together.
Just stop by and see me in the morning. I'll explain to you everything that's happened in the last 3 days.
I saw the email on it. So that's coming together, so that'll be...
It's getting there.
Yep.
It's moving along. It's getting there. It should be functional for sure, functioning well by the end of January. KCDC HVAC, now Frank, I talked to him, so I'm kind of worried that he's not here, that something happened, because I know he was planning on being here. So I'll do it. Basically, his HVAC project at the detention center continues to move along. I don't know that it'll be done by year end. It'll probably be pretty close. Are you, you're fairly close to it, Ron, too. I know that they're getting most of the stuff installed. It'll be a matter of getting it wired and then getting stuff programmed. So it's still possible by the end of the month, but it might bleed into early next year before they get things working.
I would think they're probably 50% done.
Okay.
With running the conduit, and so they're moving right along.
And that's basically now, when that's all said and done, that'll be another building that will be on part of our countywide, everything's on the countywide security system, but this will now be on countywide automated HVAC controls, too. So that's where that's at. The practice range, Ron's been involved in that. We wanted to just keep the committee up to speed because this is a topic that's come up at Joint Services Committee a couple of times. And since the chairman sits on that, I want to make sure to, that you guys are aware of what's going on there. And so, Ron, you can give some insight into what, where we're, what we're trying to help them with there.
Pretty much we looked at a bunch of different options going all the way from completely remodeling the range to what would be most cost effective for the county. And we came up with a plan to put some bullet-resistant panels in there for a ceiling, for a flat drop ceiling that will help the airflow keep the 50 CFM required for an indoor shooting range. Right now I'm working with a couple different companies that make these bullet-resistant panels to make sure they can be used in a flat type of installation, and right now it doesn't look like there's going to be any problem with that. So it's just a matter of, we've come up with a 2-inch angle iron grid design for these 4x8 foot panels to lay in, and it will cover approximately a 28x24 foot area of the range right in front of the catch basin for the bullets. The application and the way the officers are using the range has changed. They do more close shooting now, so they're within 10 to 15 foot of the target. So this should cover them. It'll protect the ceiling, keep the airflow going. It will also require putting a new frequency drive on the air handling system to keep the airflow consistent and also monitor the filters. But we've been directed by the Joint Service Committee to try and bring this in at under $25,000, and right now it looks like there's a real good chance that this, that will be well underneath that.
That's pretty much it. If anybody has any questions, we can. That's pretty much it.
And that's in their budget.
It's actually in
it's
our
actually
budget.
It's actually in ours for 2013.
Yeah.
The 25, but it was asked by Joint Services to put it in ours.
Right.
But then it gets billed back via the IGA. So we actually, I don't know exactly how the formula works, but I know that we get reimbursed.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, if we get paid, yeah.
30% of the time. Okay. Enough of that.
Last one, if you want me to keep rolling, is the bathroom, or not the last, but second to last, bathroom remodeling project at the job center. I know that the bids came in last week or the week of actually Thanksgiving. And they're still kind of rooting through because we had had some ad alternates in there to do, it would be doing like one set of bathrooms or both sets of bathrooms. And the way the bid was structured, we had it structured so that you could either do one set or do both sets, depending on where the dollars actually came in. It appears we've got enough dollars in the project budget, and it appears based on the numbers that came in, we will be able to do both sets of bathrooms. But we still got to root through the details of that a little bit. And so what we will do is that next meeting we'll have that information for the committee, the bid tabulation and kind of where everything shook out, so you can see where that project ended up. We should be able to make a decision hopefully in the next week or so on that project. And the last piece was Brookside concept planning. Again, this is to make the committee aware. In like the last 5-6 weeks, I'll back up. Last year, in 2011, Brookside had a, I don't know if it was, you call it a marketing study, there was a study done by an independent group, kind of where Brookside was at as an organization and where they probably need to go going forward if they want to remain profitable or goal is to be off the tax levy. What do they need to look at providing from a service standpoint? WIFLE was the name of the organization that did it. I think it was in late 2011. Well, as follow-up to that, the exec wanted to at least get some concepts pulled together for, okay, that Wifley study identified that in order to go forward, based on what's happening in our community, based on what's happening in a medical marketplace, rehab services are still going to be the key piece to keeping that thing off the local tax levy. There's other pieces to the puzzle, but that's one of the main pieces. So about 6 weeks ago now, we hired an architect firm. We went through a QBS selection process and hired Epstein Ewan, firm out of Milwaukee, extensive healthcare facility design background. And we weren't doing a big opera with these guys, but we wanted to get them in to at least help us get some concepts identified, given what Brookside looks like right now, what that lot looks like, because it's a pretty interesting lot from a topography standpoint and parking standpoint. Given what we got to work with, given what the marketing study said, what should we do with the facility, or what should we consider doing with the facility going forward in terms of remodeling, repurposing, additions, and so forth. So basically, we wrote a small contract with these guys. It's not like a multi-$100,000. It's a $20,000 or a $25,000 contract for them to come in and help us identify conceptually how something would look for Brookside going forward into the future, whether it's got a full continuum of care type campus, which is pretty common now, where you start where you're independent living, but over time you kind of move through the transitions till you end up in a skilled nursing facility. Or is it more of an a la carte? We just offer rehab services and the skilled nursing facility and maybe some other things in between. Bottom line is they're working to kind of get some concepts glued together and some costs associated with that, so that in 2013 the exec can sit down with the board and really talk about what do we want to do with Brookside going forward. Right now it's in a good spot, but how do we keep it in a good spot or move it into even a better spot going into the future? That's basically what the plan is to gather the information so you can have that kind of conversation to see what makes sense going forward. So I know that the executive talked with the chairman, I think finance committee chairman, a couple of other supervisors, but right now, because we're kind of knee-deep into it, it's probably going to take another month or two to kind of pull the concepts together, but there'll be a report coming out probably in a month or two, and we want to at least make everybody aware of what's going on. So that was it for the Brookside concept then.
All right. So
the only thing I want to comment is because I have heard citizens concern that, you know, we supervisors or whoever would make it, you know, turn it into a rehab center instead of a nursing home for those people that may. You know, one of the original concepts for Brookside was, you know, a nursing home for people who have been productive taxpayers but need a place to go to, you know. So I understand to make it profitable, rehab center is the answer, but I don't want to, I agree with these citizens, I think we do need to stay with a nursing home too.
I know that all the discussions we've had, there's 154 licensed SNF, skilled nursing home facility beds at Brookside. That number's remained consistent through these initial concepts. There's nobody talking about reducing any of the skilled nursing facility beds, the 154. That still is the bogey. So
but we did years ago reduce it.
Right. There was, and then one of the guys from the state explained how, yeah, there's actually incentives to reduce that, but none of the conversations that I've been involved with have nobody suggested that.
Okay.
So you can at least be assured of that at this point.
Anything else, Ray? If not, President Noodle.
I just was, we talked about it with the Board of Trustees for Brookside today. Even though, really, it's not going to be reduced, but the 154 now, it's going to include how many beds they're going to put in for rehab. So
yeah,
in a way, it's really reducing how many beds we have for nursing home, and because altogether, it's still going to be 154, I believe.
Yeah, I think 154, that's the constant number. Yeah, like you say, the demographics of, I know that SNF, we haven't gotten to that point of talking about like what, because I don't think you can trade an SNF bed for like a rehab bed. I don't think it's an apples to apples thing. I don't think. Because then there's other ones, there's CBRF, there's a whole other language.
But I think it's still going to be 154 total numbers, but some of them will be kind of,
maybe a different kind of
category
to the rehab and then the rest of it.
It could be.
Yeah, I can't speak intelligently enough on that because it's a whole other language.
Well, that's a discussion for the Brookside Board and for the County Board.
Yeah.
Not for this committee.
Not for now. No. I just thrown it out.
Yeah,
citizens.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted
make comment of. I know it's a discussion for another day.
Right.
I know they did report that their money that they've made the county is a little higher than what they anticipated. The numbers today were $325,000 that they're in the black as of
for who?
The report today for Brookside.
Oh. Good deal. Anything else for this committee?
The only other thing I have to tell the committee tonight is something that's hard for me to do, but about 7-8 weeks ago, I got a phone call from a guy that I haven't heard from in like 10 years, maybe 12 years, and he actually was a customer of a company I worked for at the time, and he had an opening for a director of operations position for Bradshaw Medical. It's one of the fastest growing companies in town, high-tech manufacturing. And I really was not looking to at all. I'm not a Facebook guy, I'm not a LinkedIn. He couldn't find me that way. He Googled me and he found me. At first I wasn't interested, but the more we talked, I kind of thought, maybe I was thinking actually, hopefully Jim gets elected again, and after that I might look, because my heart's still in manufacturing, and I wanted to get back into it, but not now. But this is a local company. It's a local company that's really growing. I think it has the potential to be a major employer in the area. I think I can help them out. And so I committed to going to work for them. I just told these guys, I didn't get to tell Ron, because Ron wasn't in the office this afternoon. He was downtown. But I got to share it with staff today. And I wanted to share it with you guys tonight so you didn't hear it through the grapevine. So I'm going to be around for the month. And then in first week in January, I'll be working for Guy Bradshaw at Bradshaw Medical.
Well, congratulations. We just got used to you, though.
I think that we got a lot of stuff, good stuff done, and I think there's still plenty of stuff to do, as there always is in government. And I really had no designs on doing this. I had nothing, nothing. I don't have a resume, and it just was one of those things. And I said, "How often is something like this going to fall in my lap at my age?" And given some of the things, and I said, "Well, I think we'll roll the dice and see how it goes."
So now I actually got to talk to Jim. Jesus Christ!
No, it's running much. It's all running much smoother, Mr. Chairman. So. I'll be around, and it'll still be a phone call away if anybody really needs anything. And I'm going to see through. I told Jim that the tower project, no matter how long it takes, I got this clear with Bradshaw as well, that whatever it takes from my end to make sure that thing gets up and is built the right way, I'll be involved in that. Everything else with the staff that we've got here, I mean, everybody's sitting around this table, and a few that aren't here tonight, we've got solid staff. Really, it's a solid operation. Me going is going to be a blip.
Gary's going to retire. You're going to leave.
Gary's not going to retire for a bit. John's not going to retire for a bit. So we've got some.
Here, I saw that plaque out at Pets with your family name on it. I thought maybe it was in your blood to stay as a public servant.
At Pets, there's a plaque with
Arndt. Somebody named Arndt.
Oh, no, that's not me. No, there's no Arbits.
Oh, okay.
We're pretty pretty obscure.
Arbits are in the witness protection program.
Right. Exactly. We're pretty obscure.
Nobody knows where they came from. Yeah. We have a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second. Move and second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and governments. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Oh, seriously.